whose favor is life, and in whose presence there is fullness of peace and joy, make dear to us this hour, and let thy gracious Holy Spirit descend upon us, thy people. Grant us an abiding sense of the reality and glory of the things unseen and eternal, that we may know thee in truth, who art the light of the minds that know thee, the life of the souls that love thee, and the strength of the wills that serve thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
May we give reverent attention to the reading of the Old Testament lesson from the Word of God. The lesson is Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Then he said, Do not come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
Hear the reading of the New Testament lesson from the Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and was there for 3 weeks, arguing with them from the scriptures and explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded to join Paul and Silas, and also a great many of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked fellows of the rabble, they gathered a crowd, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the people. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren before the city authorities, crying, "These men who have turned the whole world upside down have come here also, and they are in the house of Jason. They are acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard this, and when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Here endeth the New Testament reading.
Oh, Each year, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary presents a few awards for distinguished work. At this time, I recognize Professor Luther Copeland, who will present an award.
Several years ago, Dr. Sidnor L. Staley, who is now Emeritus President and Professor of Church History in this school, established the Staley Church History Award for encouragement to students in that area of study. This year's recipient of the Staley Church History Award is Mr. Frank Balch Wood. His paper was submitted in the course in the early church, IC 301. It was entitled The Relation of the Book of Hebrews to the homily entitled Second Clement and Its Significance for Early Church History. I will ask Mr. Wood, please, to come forward. Mr. Wood, I shall unwrap this for you in order that we may all see the beautiful cup which you are receiving. Privilege to present you with this award for your excellent work.
I recognize Professor Leo Green, who will present an award.
Mr. John Colin Harris, please come to the platform. In 1961, an endowment was established in loving memory of Dr. R.T. Daniel, honored professor of Old Testament and Hebrew here. From 1952, the second year of the existence of this institution, until the time of his death. The R.T. Daniel Award consists of the income from this endowment is to be used for the purchase of books and is bestowed each year upon the student who, in the light of his record and the judgment of the professors in the field of Old Testament studies, has demonstrated unusual ability and achievements in the realm of Hebrew and Old Testament. It is my personal privilege and pleasure today to present this R.T. Daniel Old Testament Award to Mr. Colin Harris in grateful and glad recognition of the high quality of the work which he's done in Hebrew and Old Testament.
I recognize Professor Donald Cook, who will present an award.
It is my distinct honor and pleasure to announce the winner of the Nannie Bruce Nelson New Testament Award for 1967. This award is given annually to that member of the graduating class who has demonstrated general academic excellence and proficiency in the study of the New Testament. This year's award recipient is Mr. Steve W. Watson, Jr. Mr. Watson, would you come? Congratulations, Steve, for a job well done.
I recognize Professor J. Carroll Trotter, who will present an award.
Each year, the American Bible Society presents a copy of the scriptures, in this case, a loose leaf New Testament in the Revised Standard Version, to be awarded to that student adjudged to have achieved outstanding excellence in the public reading of the scriptures. The recipient of this award this year is Mr. E. Dean Coffey. Mr. Coffey, will you come to the platform? Mr. Coffey, on behalf of the American Bible Society and in recognition of your achievement in the reading of the scripture, it gives me great pleasure to present to you this award with personal congratulations and good wishes.
It is my privilege to announce that the George T. Noel III Memorial Scholarship has been awarded to Mr. Donald James McKinney for the 1967-68 academic year. This scholarship has been endowed by Dr. and Mrs. George T. Noel II and a number of their friends in memory of their son, a graduate of the University of North Carolina, who had been admitted to this school and was killed in an automobile accident. This award will be given to Mr. Donald James McKinney for the 1967-68 academic year. We are honored to have today all the visitors assembled in this chapel. We are especially honored and happy to have present representatives of the Board of Trustees. And I should like for all trustees present to stand. Dr. Claude Bowen is president of the Board of Trustees. Dr. James Heaton is vice president of the Board of Trustees. Judge Emery B. Denny and Dr. Perry Crouch are members of the executive committee of the Board of Trustees. These men have contributed of their wisdom, time, and energy to the development of this school and its resources. We desire to recognize the families and friends of all of our graduates. If you are a member of the family or a visiting friend of any one of these students, we want you to stand as his or her name is called and remain standing until the certificate our diploma has been received. We are now ready to present certificates in theology and degrees to candidates approved by the faculty.
President Binkley.
Dean Brown.
I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the certificate in theology, that you may present to them that award.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I award each of you this certificate in theology with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, you will come forward to receive your certificate.
President Binkley,
Dean Brown,
I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Bachelor of Divinity, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Bachelor of Divinity with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, you will come forward to receive your diploma.
I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Theology, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Theology, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, you will come forward to be invested with the master's hood and to receive your diploma. It is my pleasure to present Professor Robert Persky, who will deliver a charge to the candidates who have received awards and degrees.
Honored graduates, Dr. Bowen, members of the Board of Trustees, Dr. Binkley, Dean Brown, respected colleagues, many, many guests and friends. I know that you wait eagerly and attentively now, sitting on the edge of your seats, your appetites whetted, and that you're prepared to receive one bit of wisdom, one last bit of wisdom from one of the professors before you step outside and take off the hat of a student, at least for the summer, and put on in more or less permanent fashion the hat of a preacher or teacher or chaplain or missionary, and then begin dropping such choice morsels of wisdom before your people from your pulpit. Alas, the task is, I'm sure you already realize, altogether too much like approaching a floor covered with Coke bottles with a fire hose in hand, thinking quickly to fill the bottles, only to realize that you have far, far too much water on tap and entirely too much pressure. And occasionally you may even discover that the bottles are already filled to overflowing and capped before you even have the opportunity to turn on the hose. Present company accepted, of course. But in these moments, we are standing on high and holy ground. This is a significant time, the conclusion of a long, and that word may have varying degrees of emphasis, a long period of study, having reached a point of well-merited and deserved award for achievement, and at the same time having come to a point where there is a beginning of a new chapter of work. We stand on high and holy ground before a burning bush, as it were, as a Moses, perhaps. And surely the Lord is in our midst. Surely he would speak to us, even though this speaker would say even more earnestly than Moses, "Who am I that I should go? Who am I that I should speak to this graduating class? Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, but I am slow of speech." Yet, hear at least that which the Lord speaks between the spoken lines and words of this trembling servant. It was Halford Luckock, I believe, who wrote of seeing a lad come quietly into the library, walk purposely over to the large globe of the world, look all around to be sure he wasn't being watched, and then turning the globe on its axis so that the North Pole would be at the top and the South Pole at the bottom, he put his hand on it and gave it a spin like that globe had never been spun before, before quietly turning and walking back out. In essence, this is my charge to you. Turn the world upside down. Give the world a spin. Let it be said of you, as it was said of Paul and Silas in Thessalonica, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Ask not how to turn the world upside down. Expect not a special oracle, but be reminded by Carlisle Marney in his recent book that God has no more to say, that God has said it all in Jesus Christ, that we must listen, simply listen, listen openly, listen perceptively, listen receptively. The way is clear. The means of turning the world upside down is described simply and poignantly in the life and words of our Lord and Master. Did he not say, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Did he not say, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Did he not say, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me? Did he not say, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and love thine enemies, and pray for those who persecute you? Did he not say, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me? Did he not say, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up a cross and follow me? And did he not say, you therefore be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect? This was his word for his day and for our day. Isn't this earth shaking enough? Could this not be the backbone of a revolution? Might this not be the cause to give the world a spin? The means of turning the world upside down? Do not be anxious. Believe in me. Love your neighbor. Love your enemies. Go sell what you have. Take up your cross. Follow me. Be perfect. What a charge. Turn the world upside down and begin by being sure you stay fortified for the job. You're on the way academically now, but don't stop where you are. You know some of the answers now. But there are many more and new questions. Indeed, you must help to formulate the questions. You are excited and enthusiastic now, but don't run down. Paul retired for a number of years to study, to deepen his relationship to God, and to prepare himself to turn the world upside down. Jesus went apart regularly for prayer. Martin Luther, you will remember, required that he have 1 hour for study and prayer each morning. And on days that would be particularly difficult, he felt he must have 2 hours. Keep yourself fortified for the task. Turn the world upside down. Upset lethargic complacency with energetic expectancy. You're already fallen in love with your calling, aren't you? You couldn't be elsewhere.
could you?
You wouldn't do otherwise, would you? You know already and can predict much of what will come to pass as you do God's work. Expect it energetically, expect it to be so. But there's more to the spectrum, this spectrum of expectancy. More than just the predictable, there are the ultraviolets and the infrareds, the unpredictables, the multiples of an energetic man, dedicated, committed, and fortified, and God's power unleashed in his life. Turn the world upside down. Lead a revolution from mediocrity and casualness to constructive, challenging offensiveness. The courageous presentation of the offense of the gospel, says J. Stanley Glenn in The Recovery of the Teaching Ministry, risks not only popularity, reputation, and economic livelihood, but a too deep involvement in the message and teaching of the Bible, particularly where these run counter to the accepted way of life. This rebellion needs you. Pious platitudes presenting a religion which does not violate personal and rational interests must be turned into discerning, cutting questions, fish hooks with barbs that won't turn loose. Turn the world upside down. Help reverse the emphasis on distant, disinterested, professional do-goodism to a vibrant, concerned, person-centered involvement. From appointing to the way to a being in the way. From problems and case studies to a person and his need. Turn the world upside down. Acknowledge the cost. For cost there will be in time and in energy, in love and in involvement. You see, the best things in life are not free. No cost for lethargic complacency, for superficial winsomeness. Easy enough to speak in pious platitudes. Not expensive to be a professional do-gooder or to be the boss and always be right and give orders. But to turn things upside down, to get involved energetically, expectantly, even offensively, to ask the piercing question, to creatively, imaginatively, and redemptively deal with just one person, to listen, to be bossed, to admit mistakes, and to take orders, this costs. It will cost all of you, all of your mind and body and spirit, all of your time and resources. But it will turn the world upside down. Almost a year ago, while I still served a church in another state. We were then in a building program. And I spent a noon hour one day on the grounds talking with the workers. And I said to a group of them as they ate their lunches, "Well, how are things going?" And one of them responded, "Well, things are going pretty good now, but preacher, it's going to be tough before long. See that steeple? See that cross? That's got to go up on top." And he said, "It's going to be a man-sized job to get that cross up there." And then he realized how rather discouraging he'd sounded, and quickly he added, "But when it gets up there, you'll be able to see it for miles, and it'll be a wonderful sight." And it's always that way. Lifting high the cross of Christ, turning the world upside down in His name, is a man-sized job. But when it's done, it's a wonderful sight.
Almighty God, most merciful Father, be with us in our going forth and in our coming in, that what we think and say and do may be acceptable in Thy sight. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.